Okay, we have board time Wednesday, January 14th at 1:33.
Okay, welcome to board time. Last time it wasn't clear who was the chairman. My responsibility. I serve as the chairman. It's my responsibility to make sure that this board, that we have enough freedom to be able to speak, and not too much formality, but enough order. So this is a time when the elected representatives will engage with our county manager. And if somebody else wants to be able to contribute to that conversation, normally that would be an exception, but you raise your hand to speak up. Chris, you have freedom of speaking anytime you want to.
I may be raising my hand.
Yeah, so I just want to help me to find a way here so that we can accommodate the conversation and have enough order so it doesn't turn out to be a free-for-all. Vanessa Gaston, nice to see you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Chris has asked if not 1.3, would you like to jump to the front of the queue?
If that's possible.
It is, Chris. Go ahead.
This is an item. We receive wireless telecommunication applications pretty regularly. The only unique aspect to these applications is that sometimes the applicants have problems getting all their materials together, so it takes a while to get them fully complete. The state or the federal law has recently been interpreted to require the applicants, the wireless providers, to appeal those decisions within 5 months if they think it's taken too long. Now, nobody's claiming that in this case, and they acknowledge partly this is a result of their taking a long time to get a complete application filed. But what they are saying is, so that we don't waive any rights that we have to file any appeals, and so the county doesn't waive any rights that they have to take action and make an appropriate decision, they've asked that we sign an agreement just saying the 5 months will be extended until an extra 2 months, sufficient time to allow the county to make its decision. This is going to a hearings examiner. And then both sides will have the rights that they had, you know, before the five-month period. So neither party gives up anything. All we're doing is extending the deadline date.
So there's no significant downside to doing this.
That's my legal opinion, that neither party suffers and neither party waives any rights.
Okay.
Does this have anything to do with the email I received, you know, our wireless provider thanking us for working with them?
I don't know. It may have. It may not. I will tell you, AT&T is the entity that is asking for this waiver. I believe they are. They call it ATC. I'm not sure if it's the same. But in another correspondence, my memory is that it was AT&T. So I don't know if there's a relationship or not.
Do we have a document in front of us associated with this?
I think you should have a copy of the tolling agreement.
Oh, it's regarding the tolling agreement.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Just to relate what you were talking about, Councillor Milkey, the AT&T sent a letter thanking the county staff for doing such a great job to make it easy to do business in this county and to move forward with the projects. And it was just gave our staff A pluses when it comes to efficiency and customer friendliness and thoroughness. And so that's terrific. This is one more opportunity, it sounds like, that we have to facilitate that process so that when they invest there are substantial sums into our community so that we can all communicate better. I think we all win. I don't have any reservations with moving forward on this.
My only question is, so is this regarding AT&T as a wireless provider?
It is regarding AT&T as a wireless provider on a single application for a single site. So it is a very narrow application, and it only applies to that application.
Is this a cell tower?
Yes.
Or co-location of a cell
tower? It's a cell tower. Excuse me. I believe it is a cell tower because it requires a review in front of the hearings examiner. It is not simply a co-locate, which are permitted outright.
The first recital indicates that it's a new wireless communications facility.
So it's an application. It's an application by them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So my other question would be, whatever consideration they're asking for would be provided equally to any other wireless provider requester.
I agree with you, and I would recommend you do that. Second of all, I was going to say, consistent with the charter, it's probably consistent that after the board's seen these, if you're okay, then I'll just provide these to Mark, and we'll provide the same accommodation to all the providers, because we don't distinguish or differentiate one from the other.
I agree, and that was, you made the point that equal application of the law is very important so that we don't create favoritism, winners and losers. So, in other words, I would consider this to be a policy that would facilitate all of those providers and authorize staff to be able to accommodate the same extension to anyone in that category.
So you want this brought back as a policy change?
Chris, can we adopt that policy here, or does this come to...
The board can adopt this as a policy. I mean, the charter contemplates that the county manager can sign these kinds of documents, and so if you agree with this as a general matter, I'll just implement it, and when I get these in the future, I'll explain them to Mark and take them to the county manager.
But it's important to me that the board policy, independent of signing an agreement, the board policy be uniform for all cell carriers, and that we don't favor one enterprise over another.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it'd be illegal for you to do that, for at least irrational reasons. Mm-hmm. But the board has a couple options. You can make a written policy, or we can codify it. If the board would like, we can add this language to a provision of the county code and just make it a part of the code, in which case it's about the clearest statement of policy that we can give.
So would that be brought back to us?
Yeah.
Consent agenda or in here?
If we're going to have an amendment to the code, it'll be in a public hearing. Okay. So it'll go on Tuesdays.
That'd be good.
So I see this as a two-step process. The first one, we don't want to somehow delay this particular applicant because they've inspired an improvement in the whole policy area. So we want to specifically authorize this today if my fellow counselors agree, but also move the policy forward to extend to include the understanding that this already our intention is to open the door of welcoming to all those now from the time that we approve this today. And we'll just walk through the codified process as you will bring that back when you're ready.
Okay.
Okay.
I will make sure I do that.
Two more questions. Is their request site specific for this document?
I believe they have a
9805 Northeast 94th Avenue.
Yeah, it's a CUP and the conditional use permit.
It is a conditional use permit then.
Yeah, because it's a new location and it's not a co-locate, and depending on the location of the site, wireless towers, the federal law protects the reconstruction or the addition of towers to a new or to an existing site. But a new site, depending on its location, where it's at in the neighborhood, whether it's in a commercial or industrial area, can be a permitted outright use or it might be a conditional use. This is a conditional use permit in the county in the location where it is. But the reason I mentioned the CUP is it identifies a particular application at a particular location.
So, do they have other facilities in Clark County?
They probably have 20, would guess.
So, but this specific location, and we're sure that by making a blanket policy, I would not want that blanket policy to supersede conditional use permits required in other cases where they would be. So can we keep that in mind?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, this is simply extending the time period
for
them to apply.
There's a federal appeal period outside the county code. All this does is extend that federal county code appeal period.
And the CUP covers if it is a designated area, what their requirement is for co-location, so that in the same area you don't see six towers going up and all the rest of that, correct?
Yeah, it's for, yes, new construction in particular locations that are likely to have greater impact than, like I say, commercial or industrial areas.
Right.
But yes.
It may be that an informal consensus would be sufficient for us to move this forward, but I would prefer that we actually vote on this. So, Chris, can you propose the motion that would authorize this as or submission?
One final question. Do we have any feedback? Has this been published, that this is a new cell tower site?
It's already been noticed to the public, yes, and it's already a hearing is already scheduled. So the public is aware of it, because we would put it out for SEPA comment, or it would have already been put out for SEPA comment.
And do we have any reason to believe we will get a response from the public that says this is not an appropriate location?
I can't answer that question, because right now I'm not aware of anything that is negative, and the staff that I spoke with didn't raise an issue. So, no, I'm not aware of a problem.
So right now we're just extending their time period.
For any federal appeal they might take.
And they will still have to go through their CUP
process.
And if in that CUP process there's a lot of testimony that says we don't think this is good for our neighborhood or whatever, that'll be taken into consideration, because all we're doing is extending.
Correct.
We're not excusing them from any local process.
Correct. What will happen is they'll still have to comply, and if they can't, if our code requires that we approve a project if it can comply or if with conditions it can comply. If it can't, you know, if there's something unique about the site that it can't comply with our code, then it will be given a denial, and this tolling agreement will not affect that.
Okay, and I'm asking all these questions because this was a really big issue in the city of Vancouver about 10 years ago.
I remember.
Yeah, you do.
It was since then.
So, that sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the intent here is to not only authorize this, but authorize the category and to codify this. I'll entertain a motion either from my fellow councilors or...
I would say that location or facilities for... cell phone, or it's not just cell phones anymore, is it?
No, because it's data transfer and...
So for data transfer facility, data or phone transfer facilities, that we ask staff to prepare a code that indicates... all companies will be treated on an equal basis.
To extend the time from 5 months to 7 months?
Well, or to provide extensions, because some may request slightly less, some might request more.
So but they would say stuff that we may extend.
Correct. But that we would treat them equally.
And authorize our manager to sign whatever facilitate that.
Is the culmination here clear, what we're looking for?
I think so.
I'll second that.
And thank you.
Okay. And just to clarify that the intention here is to authorize and approve the time extension here on the kind of agreement that's in front of us, which is the tolling agreement. I want to make sure that we don't restrict in our trying to formalize this. Is that all sufficient to be able to accomplish what you've communicated to us?
I thought it was two parts.
I think it is two parts. One is to approve the signing of this document, and the second is to accomplish Commissioner Stewart's direction to staff to adopt code to provide equal treatment to all wireless and data transfer facilities equally, and provide the potential for extensions.
Great.
So moved.
Okay. Yes, and for the minutes, how you just worded it appears to me to be more concise. So let's use that wording when we conduct the minute, when we document the minutes of this. So, any more discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion passes. All right. And is that done? Are we done with you, Chris?
At 1.3 is done.
Okay. Then.
Monday. All right.
Thank you. Vanessa Gaston, do you know Jeannie Stewart here?
We briefly met. I met you before you were on the city council a long time ago.
We are.
That's right.
I'm going to put you on speaker, but I'll introduce you before you start talking. Okay? Just a second.
And Vanessa, I have the highest regard for your leadership. You are doing a fabulous job, Director of Community Services. So you were here to help us understand what the direction forward for early adoption.
We have Axel has Mike. To leave at 2. He's got another meeting, Hoofrop meeting.
Oh, I want to do the legislative call first. I got Mike on the line.
This will take about 2 seconds to do her.
Okay. Hey, Mike.
All she wants is permission to sign that letter.
Okay, stand by. Just listen to us for a few moments, if you would.
He may want to listen to this, too, because of
Okay,
tune in, Mike. You might find it informative.
So thank you for taking some time. And again, this should hopefully be brief. And I will give you the other copy if you want to do the presentation. So I'm going to come back with Axel and Mark later on to do another high-level overview with some more updates in a future date. So, but I just want to let you know I do need to have your signature today. I got a couple handouts, and this is mostly for Councilwoman Stewart. I'm going to, if you want to talk a little bit more in detail, we can go over that. But this is in response to Senate Bill 6312, where it did two things, broke out into regions. And we're Southwest Washington region, which is Clark, Skamania, and Klickitat County, and then also choose the Medicaid purchasing option. And we chose to look at exploring early adopter, which is full integration for chemical dependency, mental health, and physical health. We were the only region that submitted a letter of intent back in July. So you have a copy of that in your packet. It looks like this, where we signed the same letter with Skamania and Clark, and then Klickitat did their own letter. What we tried to do this time, because they sent out a notice like this that I sent to you guys, is they want another letter of intent from all regions now, not just us. And they're asking us to get a little bit more specific about name who's going to be a part of planning and what you need from them to make your final decision in July. Only the boards, county authority boards, have the power to make this decision. So they're going to come back. We asked, and Chris worked with me on this letter, and plan for them to come back in May or June to do a presentation to you guys about what we were able to negotiate with them for early adopter. All we're asking, instead of trying to do logistics or trying to get all of the counties to sign the same letter, what we did was, and Chris assisted me with, we used the same language, and Chris approved this, and we came to the agreement about who's going to represent us on the implementation team. Can't have a conflict of interest, meaning you can't have any relationship with Medicaid, which rules me out of the implementation team. But Dee Dee Seeler was voted on by all three counties. She's my behavioral health manager to represent all three counties. The Regional Health Alliance picks Andy Silver, who's the executive director for the Council for the Homeless. And I'm still going to participate. I still meet with them regularly. But on the specific procurement process, those two will be the ones coming from our region participating.
Okay.
We all agreed to sign the same letter, so as you have in your packet, Klickitat and Skamania already signed it. We just need to sign it and get it up there by Friday. It's a non-binding letter. It's just talking about we want to continue to plan and explore with them and try to negotiate for early adopter. Your final decision will be in July.
With somebody else being the person, before we had David on the RSN.
Yes.
And we were kept pretty much informed every week by David, so we asked the same of Dee Dee if she's going to represent us to keep us informed.
Unfortunately, Dee Dee will sign a conflict of interest along with Andy Silver, and she will not be able to share until the procurement process is done. So that's why they're going to come back out in May and June and do a full-blown presentation to you. I will keep you updated with what I know, but the negotiation with the contract and RFP is confidential. Yeah. And so that's done is when they'll come out and talk to you in probably May or June.
Yeah. There's always something in between. You just kind of like to know how the ball's rolling.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Sure. And just to for the history here, last year the Board of Commissioners unanimously adopted the policy that says we will be early adopt. We will go down this path of early adoption, I do continue to sit on the RSN board. We will be transferring from three counties, including Cowlitz, to Cowlitz, Clark, and Skamania, to become Cowlitz, Skamania, and Klickitat over the coming months. Cowlitz is now bowing out, and so we'll be that three-member RSN board is going to drop down to two during the transition before Klickitat picks up over the coming months. So very much involved. If there be anything significant information or questions, I'll keep that in mind and make sure that we bring that back and let you know what's developing there. And Vanessa, also, you're so involved with the leadership of this whole process. I invite you also to keep your antennas up and let us know if there's something that we ought to all tune into in order to stay ahead of it.
Absolutely, especially during legislative session, Mike's on the phone. They're going to be doing a lot of changes, and so I'm going to need a lot of assistance from everybody on is this the right thing?
I'm looking at the letters, and we have three different letters. Which one are we supposed to be signing?
So you're going to sign the one that's a blank one. It's the draft format.
See how they sign the same one?
So you're going to look at signing this. Once we put it on letterhead, you'll sign it.
So it's not ready to sign it right
now? I just need your approval, and then I'll work with Lene to put it on letterhead. And then get your signature.
Because this one from Klickitat is different than this one.
So that packet over there was the first. No, actually, this one.
This is July.
This is the first letter.
This is January 6th.
Yeah. This is the one we submitted in July. So I just wanted to remind you guys we had already submitted one.
Yeah.
And then they're telling us do it again, but add a little bit more information.
So these three are all the same.
Okay.
All right, so
we'll put it on letterhead, but I just need you guys to vote.
So we just make sure Lene has this electronically so we can put it on letterhead. But if you agree in this meeting to this letter, then we can have you sign it subsequent to the meeting.
Great.
So if we had a vote on that, or entertain a motion?
We don't need a motion.
I thought you just said vote.
They want full approval authority, me to document it.
We give three nods. You got full authority.
Well, I want to make sure that we do it. Go ahead.
I thought you were going to be informal.
That if they want to vote, I want to show that we actually voted more than a nod. So, motion.
So I have to say, you both understand this. You've both been in on this earlier. So if the impression I have is you both think this is advisable, I'll certainly join in that affirmative vote. So,
All right.
I'd move.
And Vanessa is still going to meet with you and bring you.
Yes,
more
of course.
Yeah, very good. Okay.
So the help us with the wording of that. What are we?
That you are supporting signing this non-binding letter to continue planning for early adoption.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
For the record of the minutes, that's what the motion is. Any more discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's done. Thank you.
Vanessa, if you can, if you want to stay through Mike's. I was happy that you were
your option.
Hey, Mike, Axel here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you again.
We're finally up to the first item.
I have a 2:00 commitment that I've got to get to, so I'm going to set this up for you, and then I'll let you run with it, Mike, and I apologize for abandoning my post.
Quicker.
So we're here with the full council, Councilmember Medora's chairing. County Manager McCauley's here, Peter Silliman, myself, Holly Gilbert, and Eric Fort from the Columbian. You have the agenda, I believe, that I sent up this morning. The board also has that in front of them. I know that we probably won't touch on all these things, but I just wanted, to have some of our major bullets as a guide for discussion, but I realize we're only on, day three of the session. So with that, I think I'll turn it over to you and just kind of let you tell the board where we are on day three.
Thanks, Axel. Axel is right. Today is day three. The legislative session we started this past Monday. We go 105 straight, which I think you all are aware of that. Axel does have that agenda there, and that is your adopted agenda. quite frankly, I don't have an update on every single item, only because we're still in the stages of getting most of these bills drafted, or in the case of the budget requests, getting my meetings with legislators scheduled to make sure they're coordinating, first of all, with our delegation, coordinating our message that these are things that they're going to be working their colleagues on key budget committees to support, and then my own meetings with those, with our legislators and those other key budget folks to make the case for these projects. You may remember, too, that the first week or even the first 2 weeks of session is a lot of ceremonial stuff, a lot of review on work and work sessions on, you know, current budget conditions, just kind of inner work plan. So not a huge amount, not a heavy week for legislative activity. Bills are being introduced, and I'm going through those daily. There were some introduced today that I think you all have an interest in that we can talk about towards the end. But I think this is more about setting the table for doing these calls. In the past, we've done them weekly or every other week. That's clearly the decision for you all to make. I will make any accommodation that you want to make as far as the frequency of these. But then also knowing that you can always call me. Cell phones are good at night, especially for me around here. And when you do have questions that are in greater detail than we want to do in a kind of a bigger group setting like this. So, you know, running down your list of priorities, again, I'll be coordinating with, you know, Senator Benton is going to be introducing a few of those. Senator Rivers will be on the Medical Marijuana Act clarification. And then the other revenue items, of course, those are budget items. So probably by next week, if we do the call next week or we do want to wait for the following week, I'll have better information on who and when exactly those bills are going to get dropped as I touch base with those legislators here in the first few days of the session. I don't know. Do you have any questions or anything you want to ask of me right now? Or do you want to hear about a couple of the bills that were introduced today that you may that have been introduced today that you that I thought you might want to have an interest in?
There was one I wanted to bring to your attention, and we discussed it this morning in our work session, and it has.
Oh, fair funding, right? Yeah.
Fair funding is one. What was the other one?
The Axel bill for the tax. What do you call it? Rural county things, but the tax one that allows us to be able to participate in what's intended for rural counties.
Oh, the sales tax thing.
Yeah, we call it the Axel Swanson bill.
You have that on your list.
Yeah, that's number one. On
There it is. Good.
Well, fair funding is big. We have the best fair in the state. It has been recognized so. Our John Morrison is the president of the organization, and they give out the funding by the grading of your fair, and we have been number one for, what, eight years?
8 years.
8 years, but that funding is very important.
Yes, correct, Commissioner, or I guess Counselor now. You're right, there have been cuts to the governor's proposed budget for fair funding. If my memory serves me correctly, previous governors have suggested the same cut, and it has been put back in during the legislative process. But I think that's probably something, I guess what I'm hearing is we want to add that to our list of, because that fits well with the state shared revenues and things that ship costs to counties as well, those bullet items there. The one thing I would ask is if someone could get me in contact with Mr. Morrison. Works for you all, correct? He's a county employee,
yeah.
Or he runs the fair for you.
He works for an organization called the Fair Site Management Group. He's not a county employee.
Okay.
The Fair Site Management Group board hires and fires the chief executive out there, but the county contracts with the FSMG to run the activity. So.
Okay. Well, I guess then whoever the appropriate person is, I just want to get the exact numbers we've been getting from the state and then some details on what it is that we do with those funds at the fair. I assume a lot of those to ag, youth ag activities and things like that. But
okay, yeah,
that doesn't need to happen right now. I just need to get background, and so
okay. I'll link you up with John.
Okay. So I'm hearing head nods that this is an item we want to add.
Yes.
We're not going to vote on that. You got three head nods.
Well, that's good. I love the fairs too, so I love fairs. So I'm with you. You got my vote.
Okay.
Okay, and then you said there was a second item, Commissioner Councilor Medora, that you mentioned, and that was the rural, the sales tax, the actual bill.
Well, there's also one more, and it was a bill that Liz Pike, I think, is going to introduce. It's to allow the legislative authority or representatives for this, the local delegation, to have the right to vote on the Regional Transportation Council, or the MPOs, across the state. Right now, we allow bureaucrats, and then bureaucrats from Oregon, to vote in opposition and defeat the local representatives of the people. So she has a bill. She already knows about it. We've talked about it. That please talk with her about moving that along. It's not just unique to Clark County. It's something that I expect happens in other places throughout the state, to allow elected representatives. She has a way of making it so it's not too many of them, and she has a way of fixing the quorum formula so that we have better representation on these major transportation priorities that are set by elected representatives instead of by bureaucrats.
Okay, I will. I'll check to see. I remember that topic coming up, and I think Senator Benton actually introduced the same bill last year, or a very similar bill.
Yeah.
But she's on my list to meet with, and I will talk that through with her. She did have a bill show up on. She had several bills show up on the info sheet today, but one of them, I think, that I have heard interest from you all before, and want to verify that she's got it in today. It's House Bill 1158. And it has to do with the challenges to the Drug Management Act could go straight to Superior Court rather than going through the hearings board's process.
That's
Does that ring a bell with you all?
Yeah, if you can let us know more about that, that'd be interesting.
Okay. I think, as a matter of course, I don't want to give every single bill to you that gets introduced. I want to get a gauge to see if they're actually going to move and get hearings. Because as you know, several bills get introduced that never do move, and frankly, the likelihood is they're not going to. And I don't know if it's the best use of your time to invest in some of those. So I'll talk with Axel about a mechanism to, bring some of these bills up and get them to your attention, and get you all taking positions on them. If it has to happen faster than these conference calls. But I don't think I need positions on these things today. We'll work through that as we get further into session. Three other bills showed up on the intro sheet today.
Before you get too much farther, Mike, before you go too much farther, on that transportation bill, would you make sure that there's a companion bill, that the bills are very, very similar, and they run as companion bills?
You're saying, Commissioner, or Councilor Melvin, if there is going to be a Senate version?
If Representative Pike has one, and there's a similar one from Senator Benton, would you see that they're similar and they get recognized?
My reference to Senator Benton was that I believe he introduced one in past sessions. I don't know if he will this year, but I will ask him about that.
Yeah, because we need a companion bill on that so that it has to die twice, not just once.
Understood. I will certainly bring that up with him. Three other bills, again, that I wanted to make you aware of, and I'm not sure that they'll how likely they are to move or get hearings, and you all know that the first step in a bill moving is to get its hearing scheduled. I need to gauge that before we, delve that much into them. But you may recall Senator Cleveland had a press conference, gosh, I want to say it was last week or the week before, where she was talking about a menu or a package of bills dealing with the bi-state bridge. Does that ring a bell with all of you?
Yes, and I'm wondering, what in the world? Who is she representing, the special interests or the citizens of Clark County that already voted? I hope that she's not trying to resurrect the light rail and CRC.
Well, those bills have been introduced, and I will. I think the easiest thing for me to do today, because you don't have the paper in front of you, because I think we will have other times to talk about these. How about I email those three bills to you all this evening? Does that work for you?
Sure. Thanks.
Okay. So yeah, other than that, we're a little bit light this week, just again, given that it is only the first week of session and things are ramping up. And as you know, the pace will pick up and be frenzied with a lot of bills flying around, especially in the next couple, 3 weeks. Probably by the end or middle of February, I guess more towards the end, the volume of new legislation will have slowed down and we'll be focusing on our priorities and some of those bills out there that we like and some of those bills that are moving around that we don't like.
I had two conversations. One was with Tim Eyman, and the other one was with staff of the Senate. What action did the Senate actually end up with on that two-thirds vote thing?
I will do my best to find you the actual rule that was adopted, but as I understand it, they adopted a two-thirds vote requirement in the state Senate, just within the Senate itself, to pass any new taxes. So a gas tax increase would not require the two-thirds vote, but a tax on, I don't know, whatever's not taxed right now, or whatever taxes don't exist, would require a two-thirds vote. So new taxes would require the two-thirds. Existing taxes would not. And there is, though, speculation. We won't know. The lieutenant governor will get a chance to rule on this. I mean, there's competing constitutional folks that say it is within the state's constitution. Others say it's not. And that will be put to the test at some point on the Senate floor. Does that help answer your question?
Well, would that include license fees, for example?
No. Well, technically no, because a fee is legally different than a tax.
Okay. I know that's what.
But again, let me get the rule, counsel, and I will include that in the email I send with the bills from Senator Cleveland. I will include that if I can get a hold of the rule itself, the exact language that was adopted, and maybe that would be helpful.
It would be. Thanks.
Sure thing.
Anything else?
Talk about this in the future, but it has to do also with RTC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have to get the details out of today, but we.
Well, we're all here, and the question was, how often are we going to correspond with you? Maybe we'll start off and let you get away with a week, but down the road, I think we're going to want to talk to you every week.
Right. Well, and I think that's a good idea. That let me get a feel for next week earlier in the week, and Axel and I will talk. But after next week is probably the only time we'll want to skip a week.
Okay.
For the first, till the end of February, because the volume of information is going to be coming pretty hot and heavy here. But as you know, as we approach cutoff, things will slow down. So maybe it won't be as necessary that we're speaking each week once we get into March.
Okay.
But But if we go next week, it could be probably as short as it is this week, too.
Yep. And, Mike, I plan to spend some one-on-one time with you to go over some of these things to make sure that I'm informed.
Right. Well, and again, Commissioner, calling my cell phone is great, especially in the evenings. As you all know, I do live in Bellingham, but I'm down here in Olympia all week, and so I'm a captive audience. I have no children to distract me, so I'm all yours in the evenings.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yep.
Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Are you done, Mike?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you all.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Something that I want to bring up now, but the resolution for this may be sometime in the future. We're being told by RTC that state law allows the representative from Metro to vote on our RTC?
For Clark County projects, Clark County exclusive projects.
For any projects.
It's supposed to be.
They have, they're a voting member at RTC, as is.
ODOT.
ODOT has a voting member. So we have no voting member at MPAC or JPAC or at any of their transportation meetings that are in Oregon. So I think that is, and there have been times where the Oregon side swayed a vote
right.
at RTC
or the DOT.
In the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So I think there's a real legal question there. I mean, our legislators should be able to vote it at RTC, but I do think we need to address this unfairness that we have no vote on the Oregon side, but a Metro councillor and ODOT have a vote on our side.
I think we probably have addressed that on the legislative side.
It may have to
done.
Be
we've
because
adopted it at the RTC that yeah. way, and on at least two occasions, there's a big argument that came forward where either the DOT or someone from Oregon was the deciding vote on
exactly.
something that was a project over here. So
exactly.
the argument became, well, was that the project over here, or was that project connected with the Oregon side?
Exactly.
Was that bus on its way to Oregon, yes. yeah, therefore they could vote? I mean, that kind of thing. So,
if I can offer some input on that. At a previous meeting, this happened, this came up, and in that meeting, Senator Don Benton was sitting as a non-voting member.
Mm-hmm.
And they attempted, ODOT and Metro attempted to vote on Clark County exclusive projects. And Don spoke up and said, wait a minute. I sponsored, and we passed, and it got signed into law, a bill that exactly addresses this and prevents that from happening, made it illegal, and you must not vote on this.
Mm-hmm.
And they yielded. But since then, the RTC has drifted
redefined
back.
Or whatever.
Yes, and they're circumventing. It appears, in my opinion, that they're circumventing that bill. They're circumventing the really the intention of why do elected representatives sit
yes.
in that bill in that on that board in the first place. And I would like to be able to see a have Don pull together something that would give them a written clarification of that and have them sign either accept or reject those rules and those guidelines.
So, I was not elected to anything, but I believe I was at the RTC meeting where you asked RTC to bring in their lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And their lawyer said, it was that the issue that they, and we hadn't really seen this lawyer before, but you said you wanted legal counsel of that organization to address this and another question.
Actually, Laird was a from our prosecuting attorney's office.
Oh, he was from our prosecuting.
He used to sit as the legal counsel for RTC. When he left, that void was filled. Now it's been filled by the previous city Vancouver attorney who is somehow interpreting things differently and allowing to happen what the previous lawyer said could not happen. So the clarification of that bill, I think, is in order. And I'll follow through on that
okay.
with Don to... so we can submit something and get something back in
yes, exactly.
with a vote that says we adopt this, we agree to abide by these rules, or we, you know, at least get a vote on it.
Well, and, I mean, we can be outvoted at RTC, but if it's a legal matter, and, you know, I do think it's unfortunate, this is not a personal comment about Ted Gathy, because I know he and his wife. It's a professional concern. My professional concern is he was a sitting city attorney who gave chapter and verse 10 good reasons why the voters in their petition should be ignored to put certain things on a ballot. So if it's, you know, a bureaucratic action that's contrary to the citizens, I think he will actively defend it.
Let me give a recommendation that that we have our analyst work with Senator Benton's legislative assistant Matt and bring up and see what it says. Then if we need to take other action from that, we'll do that. Or once you get it, you can bring it back to our legal and have our legal give their interpretation of it.
That's a good idea.
Yes, and I agree that attorneys come in all flavors.
They do.
And I would absolutely prefer, like you, to have a citizen-friendly attorney.
Well, at least an objective one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now he's there to defend RTC, the decisions they have made and will make. That'll be his job there now. We need somebody who can.
I don't think we have the ability to make that decision. I think that decision is made by the majority of the board or the RTC manager, Matt.
Unless it was put into law, and then RTC, too, would have to abide by
the
law.
And I think that once you go find the RTC laws and you go through there, it's going to give us a lot of information.
Sure.
Who sits there.
Agreed.
Yeah. I'll add that.
To sit there in an advisory capacity, I think it's helpful to have Metro there and to have ODOT there for a
inside
consultation.
Absolutely.
Insight.
Uh-huh. Information.
Well, and really, they are our partners in the region.
Yeah.
So we do recognize that, so don't misunderstand me. However, whether they should have a voting membership on our projects is...
Yes. So I have here an action item for me to follow through on, and that would be to get from Don Benton's office... ask them to come up with specific rules that translates that bill into how the voting ought to work on RTC. And I'll bring that back. Okay. Great.
Yeah. Peter do that?
I'll talk with them on it. And, yep, Peter, I get the credit for everything that Peter does. Actually, I get so much done when he does it.
But you get the blame for everything I do.
You know, this isn't my arena, but I've got the RTC bylaws here.
Well, that's what we're looking for.
And paragraph 410, the last sentence of it says voting in quorum. The last sentence says, when voting on matters solely affecting Washington State, voting board members must obtain a majority vote of the Washington residents serving as board members before a matter may be adopted.
Yes. And
so
what
there's a total vote, and then there's a subset of Washington.
Yes, and what they're doing is they're saying, well, that doesn't exclude Oregon. It just says we got to include Washington. And so they're kind of stretching it beyond that. And they're also using that to say, well, everything really includes everybody because it's a metropolitan in there.
Okay.
It's a state.
And we are in the same MPO.
True. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the language is pretty clear that if, and I don't know the membership, there are 15 members, two of which are Oregon, 13 of which are Washington. So you need at least 7 Washington votes in
all
favor.
All 13 from Washington can't vote, though.
Okay. But, all right.
That's
so there's
plan B.
There's a subset of the Washington voters, who can vote.
Yeah, and some of those are unelected bureaucrats.
Non-elected.
Okay, so although it's clear here, they've got interpretation shenanigans going on.
So that's RCW 4.10?
Yeah, of the bylaws.
Yeah.
Well, so you're looking at bylaws.
Right.
Oh, that's the bylaws. Okay, I mean, there's the difference.
Yeah.
Besides the bylaws, I'd like to look at the RCW.
Yeah.
We will.
Okay, yeah. If it got signed into law, it is an RCW, right?
Okay. You see what happens? Mm-hmm. They do just that. They argue that the project does somehow connect Oregon, so therefore they all get the vote. So actually, I'm looking for something a little bit stronger that might be in the RCW that identifies those members that sit on the RCW.
So in the spirit of goodwill, we want to make sure that the law is clear, how that translates to the rules that we follow to make sure that citizens are protected and that we're represented, and that whatever laws apply here are clear, and it sounds like we have some specification to make more obvious. So that's good.
And maybe when Peter puts that information together, if he could include a current version of the RTC bylaws, just so we can see how all these pieces are integrated.
Yeah. Okay.
Be helpful.
Okay. Since this is Commissioner Reports, you got anything else?
Let's see. There is an issue that I would like to talk about, and that is the implementation of the charter. So, we've talked about that. We've talked about how we can work together to move that forward. And we've talked about how we want to find a joint agreement about how we're going to work on that. And so we have the elected side and we have the managerial side. So I thought about that more over last weekend, and what made me think about it was I went to the Leadership Clark County event, and in the afternoon, and we were invited for like lunchtime and then to do the elected person roundtable. In the afternoon, I heard that you had been there in the morning talking about the charter implementation. And where we're talking about trying to forward charter implementation as a team, I thought that was a missed opportunity, not to have maybe one of the commissioners there with you, especially to that group of minds, because those are the future leaders of Clark County and the team that puts the Leadership Clark County together are a lot of people that have a lot of influence in the community. So it occurred to me that was maybe a missed opportunity to go there as a team. And, I mean, three of us there with the county manager might be, that's a little overdone. But if one of us or the chair could have been there also for that presentation, because here's what's so important to our community to do. It's important for people to understand we're working together. We're a team. It's not a marginalized council, and it's not a marginalized manager. That in order for Clark County to have a good and healthy future in every way, that we have to be a team. So that made me think about if there are other opportunities for that. We can't flip the clock back on that now. And what made me think about it was the tone when the people went around the round table. Some of the people who came to me, how can I characterize it, were people who said things like, well, I really don't even know what you're going to do as a counselor anymore because the county manager is in full charge. And I'm going, well, no, that's this is a balance where we each have a set of responsibilities and authorities, and we fully plan to work together. So if there are other opportunities mm-hmm. where as you go out and talk to people about the charter or you get invited to, if you could keep in mind, I don't know, I think it's a good idea if we present a team image mm-hmm. Rather than all one or the other. And I would certainly do that too if anybody asked me to come to a meeting and talk about charter implementation.
I would
let you know. Really?
Noon today, as I was walking up, somebody said, well,
I have
an issue, a problem. Can you help me with it, or do I have to go someplace else?
Well, and I'm hearing that more and more. So people aren't, you know, the image is that before it was all commissioners, now never mind that, now it's just county manager, and it's never going to really work that way. We have to be a team.
Right.
So let's start sending that message and that spirit immediately so that people know that we are an integrated team. And we can't do it without you, and you can't do it without us.
Certainly. I would like to say that there were four of us there. Axel was the moderator. Marlia Jenkins was...
Axel?
Swanson?
He was there, too?
He moderated. Marlia was there to talk about the process since she was part of it. Chris Horn was there to talk about legal aspects.
Yeah, I heard he was there, and I heard Marlia was there.
Yeah, and Axel introduced the group, and he kept the conversation flowing and so on. But the message that was sent to the group was that this is a change. We've been organized one way for 169 years. We have a new form. We don't know entirely where the new charter is going to take us. We have a lot of work to do together with the council. And so by no means was the message transmitted.
Well,
but I get your point.
It's in the mind. It's these are mostly people that they're kind of starting out. In a lot of cases, leadership Clark County are people starting out in their careers.
Young 30s.
Sometimes newer in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes with maybe more limited understanding of how things work in our community. And so that wasn't a universal comment. Everybody didn't say that, but a couple said that.
Okay.
And it kind of alarmed me a little bit that people are thinking, you know, it's us or them, or, you know, because we cannot afford to have people having any of those impressions.
Sure.
So, because A, it isn't true, and B, we don't want misconceptions about the implementation.
Right.
So,
shortly, a CVTV interview with me will be published on the CVTV website.
When was that?
Well, I saw a draft. We're going to maybe edit it just a little bit. But when I know it's out there, I will send you a link so you can watch it to see the message that I'm transmitting to the community. And that's...
Well, why are you alone transmitting that message?
Because I got invited to do an interview. They wanted to talk to me to get my perspective.
Okay. I think what I'm saying is we need to figure out... If somebody wants to know about the charter, if we should go as a team, meaning not all of us, but...
At least one elected representative.
Exactly. One elected representative. Well,
the new charter stipulates
so,
that the chairman would be...
So has that already been done?
It's been filmed. It's been edited.
Yeah,
and it's,
okay.
It's about ready.
So it's done.
It's about ready.
It's already passed. So those are the kinds of opportunities that I would like to see. It doesn't diminish your authority or your responsibility in any way, I don't think, to show that it isn't just you doing anything, it's all of us together. That's what I'm trying to get at, mm-hmm. because we don't want the citizens to believe this divisive or separateness.
Sure.
We have to, it takes all of us to get it done. You just have all the work to do. You've noticed.
And I agree that maybe the board chair would be first choice for this, or most available counselor? Or?
I like to be inclusive and give the opportunity so that if there be a choice of an elected representative, to see who we as a body want to send, want to represent. Let me add my own thoughts to this, in that it is really important that not only do we work together as a team in our daily transition, but it's also really important that we communicate as a team to the community, because there are some out there that are just very polarized one way or the other. Some hate the charter, some love the charter. Some think that it just simply transfers all this authority to the manager and the role of a part-time representative is going to come in once in a while and, you know, say what's on the agenda. All of those extremes are out of balance.
Exactly.
And the best way I know to communicate a cohesive, balanced, truthful, current understanding would be for us to make sure that when there's an invitation to communicate what does the charter mean and how does it work and all, that we would, as a team, invite the other half, because there's two branches of government, and the executive and legislative. So it's certainly, I will do my part, that if I get invited to speak regarding the charter to a group or something of that category, to let them know I'm only one half of the branch here, or one branch of the government, and to invite you to also be that voice. And so if we're going to work as a mutually or an integrated team, that's, I assume that you agree that you're that reciprocity, that you'll do the same.
And sure. I agree with that. If I get invited to speak exclusively on the charter, I can't help if a charter question comes up.
Right.
But the message we need to convey, even when we answer a charter question that's in an audience, mm-hmm. is that we are a team.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're working together for the good of the county, no question about it. So,
yes.
And if we don't need an entourage of county employees either. It can be, if I get invited to mm-hmm. address a group, it could be you and I. We wouldn't need the peripheral. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no question that you couldn't answer.
I agree. Do you want to weigh in this?
No.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. very much related to this.
I didn't have to repeat anything, did I?
No.
Okay.
No motions required.
Very much related to this is the upcoming State of the County. State of the County has been something that's been the elected representatives, because we represented both branches of government. Now that the county has been divided into two branches, it would be appropriate for the county manager to represent the executive branch of the government to also participate in that. So I've been meaning to talk with you about that and invite you to participate in that for some time, because traditionally it's fallen to the chair to be able to kind of set the theme and the format of that. By the way, I certainly don't want to do that alone. I want to make sure
Well, I know, but I completely, this is exactly what I'm talking about, is there needs to be a role for the manager in that as well.
Yes.
Just 5 minutes to say what your job is. Which is okay.
If I figure out what my job is by then, I'll have some material.
Actually, let me make sure that I set your mind at ease a little bit, because we're not going to give you 40 minutes to... in fact, let me transition to the state of the county here for a minute, okay? And what I hope to do, and this is just simply draft surface thinking, we haven't researched it out yet so far, I want to bounce it off you to get your feedback, all of you. And that would be to invite Todd Coleman from the port, who is our newest collaborator for economic development for Clark County, to have a slot there to be able to share more about that healthy relationship we have there as well.
I might want to think about that. I
would be more concerned if you want to go that route to have someone like Jeff, because he's our economic development man.
Well, it's a thought at this point. I've already talked with Jeff about it, and he's very encouraging of the idea. See, here's the thing, that just the overall theme that one of the components that I hope that we can project in our state of the county is that we are not a standalone jurisdiction. We are a community of jurisdictions.
Yes, that's a fact.
And it's important that that when we build relationships and we forge coalitions that would say we're going to advance stuff together, that somehow we give that opportunity and show that in reality, give them a voice too. So I'm not talking about a big thing, but to be able to have an opportunity. And I'm thinking our new sheriff. I'd love to have him have a time to be able to share his.
I'm almost thinking. Excuse me
Go
for
ahead.
Interrupting. I'm almost thinking that would be a whole nother venue. Wouldn't it be great to have one venue, one meeting, mm-hmm. where all of those partnerships could be addressed and, give not an update, but, I'm not sure how that would work, but I think, let's think about it.
Okay.
Because I think your idea has a lot of merit.
What is the purpose of the state of the county? And mm-hmm. if you get out too far, you're going to lose the presence of mm-hmm. the state of the county is where we are and what we've done and where we are and where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
So, Holly, tell me, I think that we're supposed to, how much time are we supposed to have a total time of talking?
I believe we try to keep it about 40 minutes.
Less than an hour.
30 to 40
yeah,
minutes.
And I'm thinking we might give 4 or 5 minutes to several individuals, like our new sheriff, the Port of Vancouver. And the purpose of the state of the county is something we have to really make sure we understand. And I've been thinking about that. I want it to be informational. I want it to be useful. I want it to be practical. I want to be able to make sure that if there's new directions, new leadership, new those things that are impacting the future of the citizens in a real way, that somehow can help close that communication gap and share a little bit of that vision.
Do you have someone here from the city then?
Well. at this point,
what are you going to draw the line?
I think we better talk about
all that. All visions and directions forward start with throwing it out there and see what sticks. That's just simply the informal draft ideas of what's in a little bit in my head, unsorted. You've been trying to say something.
Well, in the interest of order, thank you, Mr. Chair. your suggestion for two venues, I think, has considerable merit. Mm-hmm. I spoke with the board chair about an initiative I want to undertake. And that is to work with all the executive electeds and the board to create a countywide mission statement, a vision statement, mm-hmm. and a series of values and strategic objectives underneath the vision. Every single elected executive signed up enthusiastically for this idea, and your board chair indicated agreement as well. I'm sorry that you're hearing this for the first time, but I think this is an ambitious thing. It won't be simple. There'll be a lot of different opinions on language and direction and that sort of thing, but I think if we can put a bow on this and have everyone sign a vision statement or a mission statement, that we could follow that up with some sort of public event where we could showcase all of our electeds and maybe present a report to the citizens.
I think
the
you just did your part of the state of the county. And I'm halfway serious, you know what I'm saying? Because that's a very positive thing, preparing as we go to, as we go forward.
I hadn't thought about that, but
good, maybe.
And how we
if
would
we let
know
you
about
talk,
that.
Maybe that would work.
Sorry.
I don't know. We're winging it right now, and I'm starting to get. I think that is a good idea because it does show unity, continuity of purpose, continuity of mission, mm-hmm. continuity of strategic action, and all of that is important.
And then as subordinate organizations develop theirs, we just want to make sure that there's some consistency.
Yeah, I don't know how much.
But it'd be his role. That's Mark's role.
Well, Public Works has a fantastic.
Well, Public Works, yes, but if we're talking about the sheriff and some of the other organizations.
Chief of Police.
Well, theirs would be their own to create. We wouldn't be involved in their own internal mission.
Oh, I see. You're talking Clark County internal.
Yes.
But I also like this idea of having an opportunity for the sheriff and the others, because we are all under that in a different way, not so much as mission and strategic. We need to do that for the county too, but there's a way to work this out. I think these are great ideas. I think we're just going to be working on fine-tuning here.
40 minutes. Huh? 45 minutes is what Holly says.
45 minutes. Well, it may not all be able to be done in the state of the county. Yeah. I think we need to decide what our strategic mission is for the state of the county. I know you're working on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to get the 1,000-yard stare out of people.
Yeah, that's true.
I have
I know what they're going to do. They're going to make me talk last, which is by the time people's eyes are rolling back in their head and they're going, where are the cookies and coffee?
Well, do think about what you want to be able to share, how much time you would like to be able to share that, so that we can start putting together the format of this.
Yeah.
And keep in mind also the idea of inclusiveness when it comes to those that...
Absolutely.
So when we did the last one, we decided on a bunch of subjects, and then we went to each commissioner at the time and said, what part do you like the best? What part fits you and what you've been working with? You remember how we did that? Mm-hmm. Economic development.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was, what was I? I was a wrap-up of the whole thing because I was the state of the county. And everybody did a smaller part than I. Then I did the wrapping up of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that would probably be what you would do. Everybody would do a little bit, then you'd wrap it all together.
Holly, this will all be scripted, correct? Thank you.
So
we're going to move on.
Applause,
I have teleprompter. Are you done with
your
stuff? Say
again?
Are we done with that?
Are you in a rush?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm just having a little fun here.
I know. So
that's pretty much the things on your list.
Yeah, that was on my list.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tom?
So I'm a little bit concerned because I went to a neat luncheon. And I went there primarily because Aaron Nolan and Sergeant Walker was there at the Hazelville Business Luncheon. And they were the key speakers on panhandling. And it was really interesting to see what we created and how it came out and what we ended up with, which was good because the way they're applying it and the way they describe it to the people, probably a little bit different than what I understood it. So. Mm-hmm. The good news is it really came out good. I was very impressed with it. And it also included parking lots. So if you have a store and the parking lot in your belongs to you and someone starts panhandling mm-hmm. in your deal, you can notify them premature or at the time that someone is trespass. Mm-hmm. And So it's not just on the corner. You know? Right. So if they turn around from the street and turn back into the parking lot, it works there also. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was very good. And it was good that I was there. I was recognized as being there. And it was one of the biggest groups that they had because of who was speaking. And so it was good.
And that's good for that organization. Now, parts of the county that are in the city limits, the city limits has a strong anti-panhandling ordinance for aggressive.
As a matter of fact, he compared it to that small compared to ours.
Oh, really?
And they're not enforcing it, and they're in the process today of adopting our plan.
Who is?
City.
Vancouver.
They're doing what?
In the process of adopting our panhandling ordinance. I brought you a copy.
That's been through the ringer.
We just did this, and how we got where we were. We were on our way following what was going on up in Tacoma.
Yeah.
And Boise adopted that plan. Then the ACLU got involved. So we took a step back and let them crunch the numbers, put it together, and we adopted that plan.
Okay, this is the current county policy.
Yes.
So we're stricter than Vancouver?
Yes.
Well, enforcement is a key, but enforcement is difficult because outside of city of Vancouver, you have to call the sheriff, and we know they're working on a lot of other higher priorities. But Vancouver is not enforcing theirs virtually at all.
No, and they talk about that. So
yeah.
Anyway, it was a good subject.
Thank you.
My thing of concern in the rush and the interruption of converting to charter, we're letting a lot of things slide, and I'd like to encourage us to look back and pick up on some of the things that we haven't wrapped up with a bow tie yet.
Such as?
I want a reminder of the direction of utilizing our Dolly building, and we're looking at moving the youth commission.
Update for you?
Yes.
We got a 3-year lease from a private business that moved into the Dolly building.
So we don't have any vacancies?
So that's, we do, but not large enough.
There was two large areas.
Yeah.
One was in the front, the prime one. And the other one was in the back that we thought about taking.
Right.
So I want to stay focused on that.
Can I ask? So that sounds like good news. How many square feet got signed up?
In excess of 2,500.
That was the prime area, and it's all glass and it faces the
street. 3-year lease. We got lease rates are beginning to improve.
Great.
We had the discount space for a little while during the recession, but the square footage rates are beginning to rebound.
We've been vacant for over 3 years.
We're at 80% occupancy, which is better than...
Good. So how many feet do we have left?
I'd have to...
I'm guessing the back was a little bit smaller than the front.
But it's all it's chopped up into various places.
But see, they wanted to keep chopped up for the privacy of the different interviews.
Mm.
So my point is the amount of money that we've been spending over here at the youth center is astronomical.
Okay.
Far more than the veterans group even. Mm. So it's something that's really needs to be addressed, and we were on focus doing this thing, utilizing it where we could. So I want to stay focused, and I want to make sure that we address it that way. And I know with the change of charter, that kind of goes into the gray area and into the organizational portion that our manager is in charge of. But I don't know if that's organizational or if that's in charge of facilities. And the policy that we would make would be that we don't have vacant facilities and pay for facilities someplace else.
What's the location of that?
The Dolly building?
Yeah.
It's the building kitty corner to Esther Short Park on the northwest side. So if you're looking at Esther Short Park on a map, it's kitty corner. There's a building, two-story building. It's on West 8th.
It's where the Board of Equalization is.
IRS used to be in there?
IRS.
I think the Attorney General's office used to be
Well, did it? I didn't know that.
Thank you.
Anyway.
I know which building it is.
Okay, and then the youth house is two blocks south, yes, and I think two blocks east.
And what's going on? Was that one of your updates, the youth
house? No, we'd been
house?
Vacant for a long time, and we were almost 40% vacant, but with the the new person, he's taken up that hole. It's kind of like divided into two parts,
sure,
from the entrance.
Yes.
And we had everything on the west side almost was empty, except for one individual. But we had the whole front glass part, and then we had the majority of the back part close to the back entrance.
And the youth house?
That's a separate house that we've been paying rent on over here.
We'll familiarize you with that operation.
Okay.
We'll have Vanessa and Dee Dee talk to you about it.
And I know that the youth, the Clark County
Youth
Organization,
is out of there.
Has met there.
And we also do other things. We do other things out of there, too.
Oh, okay.
And that's when we got into what we call the call centers. And then at one time we started talking about that, and we got off of that, too. And that's when we found out, and I thought, oh, my goodness, we have three different call centers. How do I know which number to call? If I'm the person having the problem, can't I dial 911 or 411 or 511? Well, come to find out, we had 12 emergency numbers. So it depends which one you wanted. And where I was going with it was a sorting house. And at one point we went back, we were supposed to ask them, you guys think about what you're doing and how you could be there 24 hours for anybody. So in other words, everybody didn't have to stay awake all night, so you'd have a sorting house, and that's where the phone calls went to. And then they would immediately put you in touch with somebody who was on call to address that emergency need, whether it be alcohol or runaway or drug or whatever. Anyway, that was... And I don't know where we ended up with it even, but we had so many things going.
Tom, I just want to kind of glean your desire there when it comes to the youth house. Let me paraphrase what I think you're after. You'd like to be able to make sure that the youth house, that organization, it has the resources they need, but somehow you're fishing for a lower cost way to get that done.
Absolutely.
So in one of those would be to locate some vacancy somewhere that's already in the possession of Clark County resources and somehow match that up.
Yeah.
If that can't be done, then some other kind of a solution to hunt and see what are we missing here and maybe there's a better fit.
Yeah. At one point someone said, had we bought in that building when we started it, we would have been way far ahead. But instead, we've been leasing this building.
Yeah. I forgot so how many what are we paying? Isn't it like $4,000 a month for that house?
It ends up being over $40,000 a year.
The budget for the youth group is over $1 million.
Okay.
It's huge.
So what are we going to do?
But not all of that is county money.
So
some of the other programs are funded with money that is not Clark County money.
So in other words, grant money. And the main concern
just
here is the stewardship.
Just happened to have a chart.
Is the stewardship of our local general fund dollars.
Anyway, it's just one of those things that I want to put in the back of our mind, mm-hmm, that if we have a facility close by that would work for them, we could save a lot of money. And
now, the lease in the current location for the youth house, it runs until the end of October.
Yes.
So
we have to find and prepare, measure. We have a lot of preparation if we're going to do it, because we don't know if it's going to work. And I'm very big
right.
into that.
So we have already had extensive discussions with staff, mm-hmm, and they are, I was going to say vehemently, but they are strongly opposed to the idea of moving into the Dolly building, and they have all kinds of rationale to back up their position, and I'd love to have Vanessa share that with you.
Well, I can cover some of it right now. One was our guy who's in charge of renting that building. We pay somebody else to facilitate that. He had made a remark they got together and talked whether or not they would be compatible with the clientele that we have in that building. But we, because the youth house does a lot of stuff after 5 o'clock, mm-hmm. which they could also control and lock the door and open it up the same as we do with the cameras here. So there's all kinds of things you could do with that. And the other thing is to go back and realize what that is doing and what the function is of that and how well it's working. So those are the two things I can remember.
Yeah, the incompatibility of the activities conducted by the youth house, they have barbecues. And at the house, they have a lawn, they have a driveway. I can't see them having a barbecue outside of a professional building with professionals in it, like attorneys and others.
But they have that barbecue after 5 o'clock.
And security of the current tenant population is a concern. They do not want after-hour or weekend activities. And quite frankly, we have had a great deal of difficulty locating tenants in that building, and they will flee if we put an incompatible use in it.
So can I step in for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like the goal here is to find a cost-saving way that better that accommodates that organization very well.
I don't think we should continue the way we are.
Okay, so if it's and it sounds like it's not the Dolly Building. The question is anybody? Do we have an inventory of other potential things? Is anybody looking to see what alternatives could be found?
Are the properties owned by the county that would be suitable?
Mm-hmm. Not this close. We don't.
No.
Okay.
Is there
another lower cost place that could be rented or something else that we shared?
They previously were in a house. They moved from that one into this one.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, at least I did a number of months ago, that the previous house was up for sale,
mm-hmm.
and that for the long-term financial viability of that program, that we could consider purchasing that house, and we would avoid paying the rent, we would own the property, and the payback would be, 10 years? If it's a $300,000 house or what have you, and you're paying $45 in rent, you would recoup that money pretty quickly. We could look at that, and staff would be supportive of that
mm-hmm.
model.
Yeah. So the basic goal here is to see if there be a something that's adequately fit. In other words, it's appropriate. That's lower cost. So that's a pretty general thing. And so if you could just see what you can. Take inventory, find out what's available out there. You might even check with some of the whoever specializes in that kind of, realtor or something out there. See what are we missing? Are we missing anything? Okay.
Okay.
So, and I think what got my attention was it's $1.5 million a year for the year 2013. 1.5.
Yeah.
For which building, Tom?
Well, for the operation of it. Now that included everything, money coming from other ways.
Salaries and benefits and yeah. supplies and materials.
So do they have full-time staff in that building?
Yes.
I mean, the youth house?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they need to be able to have a place for them to work, and there's some extracurricular activities that happen and meetings that happen periodically.
There's more problems and storage problems. And the last time I got involved is when I stopped by the house, and the total living room was full of storage stuff. So there's a living room and a dining room. They were both full. And the only thing that was left was in the kitchen area, and I don't know what's around the corner from the kitchen, and the upstairs has some offices mm-hmm. in it. So that's my heartburn. So they need storage area to put their stuff. And that's when I looked at the Dolly House, because downstairs of the Dolly House, we have a whole bunch of vacancies downstairs.
Okay.
So and they could be used for storage.
Here's one way that you can move the ball down the road. Is potentially do some scouting on your own.
That's what I'm saying here. That's not my job.
That's
my manager's job. And so I'm saying keep your eyes open, your ear to the ground, and that kind of
thing. Well, I would encourage you to look for alternatives. Maybe link up with the commercial realtor or something, be able to see, hey, I got a vision. Can you translate? What do you got?
We kind of beat that horse already.
Oh, okay. Well,
but we beat the horse a year and a half ago. It may have revived itself. We might have to beat it
We
again.
Don't know. Yeah, we don't
point.
Know.
Or maybe we're beating the wrong horse here.
And maybe we should ask
Tamara
the
Fuller with
owner of the facilities about buying it, see if it's reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay. I have Mark going back over some of our costs on our phone stuff.
Mm-hmm.
not our phones, our ads and stuff. We're trying to get a handle on that.
Okay.
I think we have a good guy. We have a good handle on our boards and advisory boards.
I believe Peter did some very good work, validated by the PA's office, that these are board appointments. These are county manager appointments.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah.
And I'm going to do one-on-one because I think we can have some common ground there where everybody can, we can do it smarter and get much more citizen participation because somehow they're more aware of the specifics and the opportunities. So that's on my list.
I was still looking for excess property. If they don't think we have excess property, show me what property we own.
Okay, there's another charter question. Yeah.
Okay.
County manager manages county property.
Well,
I'm not managing. I'm going to sell it. I don't think that's your job to purchase or to sell, is it?
That would be an authorization issue, which is probably
okay. I'm glad you brought that up because my next thing is that No, he's right. That's a good question.
Well, actually, let me address that. This isn't really about my turf, your turf, hands off or anything like that. Again, we're a team. And the potential of the county sitting on property that's doing nobody any good that we don't know about or that could be sold and somehow we could, help to build a new jail facility or something, those are conversations that that the charter should never discontinue. The charter should facilitate those or just say good government should facilitate those. And certainly the management of that falls to you, Mark, but the opportunity for us to be able to have transparency so that we know what do we own and what's the status of that is an important part because we all have the fiduciary responsibility to make sure that we're financially smart. We're not sitting on grandma's money that's not doing anything and anybody any good. We've had a couple of work sessions regarding properties like that, and I don't recall where that's inventoried, where that's listed. Do we have, for the transparency for us to be able to see what we got, is that laid out somewhere in a grid or something?
Honestly, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think it is.
I think we did a little bit of work,
yeah.
And we got to a point to where the people bringing information forward was saying, that's all I think I have for access. Isn't that right? Isn't that pretty good?
Well, we've got thousands of properties, and what I don't want to do, I didn't want to do it, I don't want to do it going forward, is to have a PhD dissertation on every piece of property we've got. But I would like to, rather than trying to get everybody in a room to brief all of it at once, I think we need to take an approach that looks at bite-sized pieces. And first is to get Don Benton and his people in to do a review of his properties one by one and have a matrix, what the parcel number is, what the property was acquired for, what's its current use, is it excess to our requirements, do we plan to surplus it, that kind of information.
Yeah.
And light up the map, if you will, to use a Medorism.
One of the things that brought this to light, though, was in the middle of a block.
Tom, just for as a chairman here, the rules don't interrupt. So Tom,
I was pretty close to being done, but I'm envisioning that kind of presentation to the board, so that you have quick understanding, parcel by parcel. You know, this is a future park. This is a future park. Any questions about those two? No, check them off. This is right away that we don't need because it was. Yeah, we built the road. We have a little sliver. We've tried to get the adjacent property owners to buy it. They don't want it. We can every year we can ask them, do you want it? And they'll say no because it's right there. They got beneficial use of it. They don't pay taxes on it. And then we say, we're done with that one so that we don't continually revisit the same sliver of property over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so that would be my approach to mm-hmm. getting this elephant off the table and in a cage somewhere.
Okay. Tom?
those little slivers, I think there's a way to get rid of them. And I don't want to turn my back and just give up and say we've got all this stuff out there, because we have to maintain it. And if you recall, the two cases that I was involved with, one was we had a complaint because there was an undeveloped area. It was a half a block wide and a city block long, and people were parking their cars over there. Next door was a high-density apartment. And so we started looking into it to go after the owner to clean it up, and found that we owned it. But we had bought it years before that for a road right-of-way, and the houses were built all around it. It had sat there unused, being a trash can for the neighborhood. And the direction we gave at the time was put it on the market and sell it. I don't know if we've sold that yet, and I couldn't even tell you where it was. I'm going to be upset if I come across it and it's still there. The point was that take this excess property that we have, if we have it, put it back on the market so that it's taxable. That's where we get our revenue from, property tax and sales tax. That was one. The other one was up in the neighborhood that the wheelchair people would have to leave the driveway and go around this undeveloped large lot and then go across the street and then back up into the sidewalk again, and they were wanting a sidewalk there. Once again, a buildable lot that we had was sitting there, and it was our mess without the sidewalk that was impeding the people in their wheelchairs. That's the other one. The other one is the pig farm. And would we get rid of the pig farm? No, they came back up and they wanted us to give it away.
Pig farm?
Yeah, when a guy in Hazeldale. Remember the guy, the pigs in Hazeldale? So we came back up, instead of putting it back on the tax roll, which is the intent, we turn around and say, well, I think we'll give it to Habitat for Humanity, I think it was. And the problem with the Habitat for Humanity is they don't own the property. They own the building, yeah. And the property is forever held in lieu of, which doesn't come back and go back into tax base again. And if you're going to encourage someone to get into home ownership, they need to own the land so they have equity and they can move on and with growth. So, and my other case is we went out this last year and identified several water retention areas that could be used as parks, multiple use. Is one of the things we've been pushing for a long time. It just hasn't gotten off. And I found this park, 7 acres, that has been used for a water retention, which, by the way, I've been driving by there with all the rain we've been having. And so far, it's never used the first level of floodplain. 7 acres of it. Across the street, we had 10 acres that we paid $1.5 million for. And we said, you know, if we get this developed, we can sell that one across the street and put it back into developable land, and once again have revenue for the county by building homes in there. So, real quickly, the next thing I know, this property, the park was never developed, but we sold the undeveloped 10 acres for $1 million to the city for a park. Okay. That was never the intent, to give it back to the city for a park. It wasn't even in the city.
Well, and it still didn't go on the tax rolls, which was one of the objectives.
Mm-hmm. So the objective of this has been twisted in such a way that it's not happening with the intent of the consular. Okay.
Here's what I would suggest. If GIS does not already have a way of lighting up county-owned properties that are in the various logical categories, we ought to have. Do you know if we do?
We have a county-owned property.
So yeah. We can, in other words, we can go to the GIS tool, click a box, and all of the county-owned properties light up?
I believe that's the case,
okay.
Yes.
And if we want to be able to click on each one, the information that we know about those properties is available?
I know we have a database on each parcel. I can't tell you whether that database is linked to the map. I would have to double check that.
I would think that would be very, very useful.
But like I said, the presentations that I'm contemplating on mm-hmm. property mm-hmm. would have the map, and every parcel would be backed up with the information on it. So we could just go through a list one by one and checkmark it or X, depending on whether or not you buy our explanation for why we have it or why we can't get rid of it.
Yes. So
we understand that. Let me be very clear here, because we were accused of trying to sell parks, and that's not true. Now, some property is bought to build parks at a later date. We intend to keep those.
Okay. All right. So I got a question.
Don't ever be twisted.
As the policy stands now, do I understand correctly that any sale of a change of ownership of county-owned property requires the approval, a specific approval for that parcel of the BLCC?
Correct. I don't think so.
Yep. We can't buy property or sell it without board approval.
I didn't sign anything. I wasn't aware that we sold that 10 acres across the street on 58th there.
Mark, can you provide us with the reference to that policy?
The first time I knew about it, it was on the consent agenda.
Okay. Which means the board approved it.
So there ought to be a document somewhere.
That's not the way to show it.
All right, there
it is.
Let's bring that back, or at least we'll understand what the policy is, what the reference is, and Mark, if you could spend some one-on-one time with me, and you and I will explore how useful does the GIS tool, the way it stands, lend us, shed light on this. Peter, you had some light on this?
I just had an observation the counselors might want to consider, in that when you're trying to implement or achieve an objective from the council's position, there lacks an incentive at the line or department level to pursue that. And one of the ways to incentivize particular departments might be to reward them with that money that they generate by funding projects that they have on their the budget wish list, special projects that are still pending. That might be a way to incentivize the department heads to direct their staff, because there's a department benefit for that. That might be something for you to consider. I've seen that at the corporate level. Mm-hmm. There's lack of incentive because of the disconnect.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea, because it's not a gift of public funds. You're not just giving them a bonus or something, but what you're doing is using public funds for public projects, potentially. So incentives help. So
exactly.
That reminds me of one that we had in the legislature. We couldn't get DSHS to answer the phone, so when they answered the phone, we were given bonuses.
So, Peter, you want to search that out a little bit and see if you can translate that into something useful?
Sure, I can talk about it more.
The point is, it's not that difficult, and it's going to. The point I'm making in my delivery of the things I have on my list were things that we've talked about, and we've had the same problem over and over again. We talk about something, and it falls by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And so we started a while back keeping track of all of them and bringing that back each week. Well, we've gotten busy. We've gotten off of that, and we put it off to the side. And we need to come back to that, because we're not taking care of things that we're talking about. That's a real heartburn. And it brings up a good point. Do we have the authority to do that, or is that the job of the manager? Because of that, I'd like to bring up one more time. Oh. And ask for what? Don't interrupt me. don't interrupt me. This is my time.
Just pause for a moment. Remember where you're going to go, because I've been waiting for to service this interrupt here. You were trying to say something earlier.
I was just regarding the potential for that idea. I'm skeptical about that. In the sense
about incentive.
About incentivizing employees to bring something forward. It's their job.
And I was going to say that. I didn't know how nice way to say it.
I'll be the cranky person.
The incentive was their paycheck.
You were talking about a bonus to a single employee.
No, you were talking about
the department benefiting.
No.
Yeah.
So there can be recognition by the department. We can recognize the individual. But if there's an incentive for the department, or if it helps them achieve a department objective, you can't deny that there's additional incentive for them to conduct a search. And you can say all you want that it's a person job, but we're talking about ways to legitimately motivate people to go the extra mile in looking for something and achieving an objective you want to achieve. And I'm just saying, I think you're missing it if you're saying it's just their job and they should do it. You've gotten the results you're going to get with that thought line.
I think what you're trying to say is that it's above and beyond what they would normally do, mm-hmm. and if you end up with a policy or with a program that says here's how it works and it's guaranteed payoff and you in the entitlement and you owe it to me because and then you fall into the category it really was their job and mm-hmm. you know you're holding it back to get your own those kind mm-hmm. of things we don't want to do but certainly the volunteer incentive can potentially be one idea as we just mm-hmm. draft this idea one would so that we have some discretion to recognize mm-hmm. hey you know this is genuine you found that and you, this is a good project. Then yes, we agree mm-hmm. with you, but we have the freedom not to agree with you mm-hmm. or to consider it not inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So it can't be formula guaranteed driven, but it ought to be something that allows that discretion without somebody claiming they were unfairly treated.
Mm-hmm. So let me be clear: it doesn't matter how you spend this.
Okay.
I think it's a bad idea. I think it is part about,
right?
of people's job, the team of the county. I think we have that in our employees. And I think if they understand if surplus property comes to their attention, that they let us know, irrespective of developing this map, which is the best, most objective way to start it.
Yeah.
It's part of all of our job to do the best we can for the county. And in the private sector, that works better. But then I worry about what the next program is we're going to try to incentivize.
Okay. So you've been heard. And,
I'm clear
and
on that,
I think
right?
you have a lot of credibility back. In my eyes, so I'm pretty persuaded.
Okay.
Now you're done, and you have it back.
So it became obvious in that discussion that whose job is it? Is it the policymaker that makes the decision, whether that's a excess or not? Or is it the managers? And I want to go back and bring up again the idea of hiring an outside counsel to review and explain to us our role, managers' roles, and everything that's in the charter, any deadlines, whatever. And I do that again. We could. So this is a good example. We have a disagreement. Who might be in charge of this? How do we get by that? We go back to our legal staff, who might have a dog in the fight, or because if we go back and our legal staff says, well, for sure, you councilman, you're going to be in charge of that. And then some of the people that were involved in writing the charter that was anti-councilman would come back and say, see, you use your own staff to give you more authority. And that's when I think outside counsel would be an independent advisor that could read this and have it back within a few days and could legally give an outside independent opinion. And I think we could do that by looking at qualifications of different individuals to do that. Just an idea, but we're starting to
have some feedback on it.
We're starting to come to this already, and as we go back and say, hey, how come we're not going to do this? Now, we wanted to do it before. You didn't do it before, but now that you think you're in charge, you're not going to do this.
Okay.
So here is an example of why I think that idea has some merit. Now, how we would do that and who would pay, what I don't want it to be is something that's against city manager authority. I would want it to be very objectively. Here's the language. It can be interpreted this way. It can be interpreted this way. My best authority tells me here's the interpretation. Because it's well within our authority to ask Mr. McCauley for a list of surplus property. No question about that. So he provides us with a list of surplus property. And so then do we have a policy that says any that we're not determined to use or have a plan for or have a reasonable expectation of a plan for, we think should be sold? That's where is that his ultimate responsibility and authority to make that decision, or is that like a policy decision? And we can say, well, our policy is not to hold any land, then we can develop the policy. Our policy is not to hold any land we don't have a reasonable expectation for using. However, then that goes back to him for the interpretation. Well, does that mean this year or in 5 years, or what does that mean? Mm-hmm. So there are issues in this charter, and it's not weaseling. It's not us trying to take authority or control away from the manager. Mm-hmm. It's not against each other. It's what is the most objective interpretation of the charter so that these lines of authority and responsibility can not be cemented, because I'm not looking for cement. I'm looking for ability to communicate and work things out and work together. But I would like to be more comfortable knowing what authority we have left, because, to be honest with you, I feel real uncertain about that. I can make those definitive distinctions that we're talking about right now. Well, okay, so we have policy.
I don't think we do in this case. I don't think we've ever put in policy such a thing.
See,
in this case.
This right here tells me mm-hmm. that even the three of us can't agree.
Yeah.
You know, not that we're disagreeing, but we don't have a clear vision of where some of those authorities, and the charter can't prescribe everything.
No, it can't. I'm going to undertake an effort to keep the discussion flowing, and before long, we will have a product for you that will be divided into sections where we're going to propose starting point.
Who's the we?
Me and staff. Because in the absence of a starting point, you're nowhere. And so
this is a starting point right here.
Well,
how do we move forward with this direction from the council? We just could put this off until we get to this point, or we got to talk about things we're not doing yet.
This will be the third time I've talked about my approach and that I intend to take to bring the property issue to the board. I think the previous efforts have been too large in scope. Mm-hmm. I want to break it down into bite-sized pieces in a diligent way.
Yep.
Take 10% of the properties off the table every time we meet, and just on a recurring basis, every 2 months maybe, bring another 100 parcels to the board, review them, and resolve each and every one of them. Or if we can't, then we circle them and we do more research and we bring them back the next time.
I don't want anybody to give me busy work. I'm going to be upset if you give me busy work. I know what a park looks like. If we have parked land undeveloped, I'd like to review it. You know what I'm saying? If we own a house, if we own a farm, why do we own those? That's
where
I come
from. So you
want to
look.
I'm aware that we own farms.
Not necessarily every parcel. And so I'm not sure that you were through kind of laying out what you...
We have 2,400 or so parcels, and this is going to divert...
Well, I don't mean just on the parcelization. It sounded to me like you were talking about a broader picture of...
Charter.
Of the charter.
Oh.
Of outlining how you intend to move forward with that. Was I mistaken?
No,
did I misunderstand
you weren't.
That?
It's easy to lose momentum, and we're halfway through the first month of the six that we've got in that loose 6 month period. And, you know, 1/12 is behind us now.
Who set the 6 month period?
I think the charter contemplates 30 June.
Actually,
somewhere.
It doesn't. It doesn't. There's no date, but
it suggests work be done by June 30th. It does not designate how much work, how
does
definitive.
I don't think it mentions any date.
I read it over last week and I didn't find a single date in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
other
found
than January by it's the June. Yes. The only mention of June is in June 6, 2016. When the acting county manager's evaluation must be done by all five counselors. Mm-hmm. That's the only mm-hmm. date
I saw.
I saw
other dates.
So, were you finished, Mark?
Well, there are sections of the charter where I believe that we'll all agree to what the language means. There'll be no dispute whatsoever. There are some areas, especially the powers that are enumerated for the county manager, because that's where the perceived power shift is. And I think four of the seven, if I think there are seven, I would venture to say there's no debating the language. I have to submit a budget to the council or to the board annually or biannually. I've got to do this and that. I'm going to do those things. You expect mm-hmm. me to. Mm-hmm. But where it talks about HR policies, where it talks about signing or causing to be signed contracts, where there's the potential for interpretation, those are the things that I think we need to focus on. And I want to communicate to you what areas of the charter I believe need to be worked on mm-hmm. between us in that partnership arrangement. And then we're going to stake out we're just going to plant a flag and say, how about this?
Mm-hmm. So
you're going to pick up the flag and you're going to move over here.
Yeah, I kind of like your approach. You said that there's four of the seven that are pretty clear. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I'd like to identify those. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Identify them so that we could... We have a chance to look at and see if they're simple, and I think some of them are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but there's some that are not.
I'm sorry, there are nine.
Okay,
well,
that's better.
I think I read a couple of these in a previous board time meeting. Supervise all administrative departments established by this charter or created by the council. That's something I did as the county administrator. I'm still doing it. No change.
Mm-hmm.
Execute and enforce all ordinances and state statutes not assigned to other elected officials. That's what's, kind of did that before.
Yeah.
Now, I know that the board, as it relates to wineries and kennels, you've had a restraining effect on staff in the past. Slow down. Don't push them so hard. Give them more time and that sort of thing.
I think we got past that. We'll turn that over to Marty and to Marty. We're wrapping it up.
And that's the approach I want to take. Giving people 2 years to comply with something they should have complied with before they built their structure is very generous. And the policy of being complaint-driven, mm-hmm. we're continuing that policy.
Here's one of the things about that. First, I don't want to interrupt you, Mark.
I don't want to read all nine of these.
No, I don't either.
But I think if I...
My time.
Okay, conduct collective bargaining on behalf of the county, subject to state and federal law and budget direction provided by the council. That's what we do now. Or that's what we did last year or the year mm-hmm. before. So there's very little change there. Mm-hmm. You set the parameters, mm-hmm. and we go negotiate. Mm-hmm. We get to a point, we bring it back. You have to approve the settlement.
Can I say something basic here about the path forward? One is that so far we have not found one area where we disagree on the implementation of the charter, right?
I think we can say that.
Okay, so far we're on common ground.
I don't think so. We got one for sure.
What's that?
On what to do with land. Who's in charge of...
Well, actually...
Who's in charge of the policy of keep or liquidate?
Actually, I won't count that one because there's not a turf.
Not count that one. We agree on the others.
Well, no, that's really not a question of who has control. It really has to do with what are we trying to do to define a task. We haven't defined the task yet, and how to do that. That's a separate, specific topic. So, first of all, understand we don't have one dispute between the two branches of government. We're on common ground. Tom, I think the reservation, or it's not a reservation, it's really it's a tool that I think that is just good sense that you're asking for, and that is if we come across areas of dispute that the BOCC has access to independent counsel to help bring light to resolve that, so we don't have to go back to staff to be able to, or even our own prosecuting attorney office, who may have a dog in the fight because they're part of staff too.
Helped draft the charter.
Yeah. So,
and so did your key person you're working with help draft.
Yeah.
The charter.
So that I think that translates your concern into a solution that says if we come across an area of dispute, then the common then that we ought to be able to have access to somebody that a completely independent third party. Is that we're on the same page there?
We can come back and address it at that time.
Yeah.
You would need to have an attorney on retainer. You wouldn't want to.
Well, and I think that's the reason I thought about nipping it in the bud and having it explained to us before we got there.
Well.
But it would work that way, too. But you're right. You probably have to have someone on retainer.
You want the same attorney every time.
Okay. Can I continue?
Yes.
Because so far, we haven't established a need for that. And I think we can avoid the need for that if we can just simply do, and I think we're already on the same page in this other area. And that is how we approach the changes. And I think, Mark, that we've already we're already in agreement that we will make this transition together with full transparency, so that, and you agree that you will not work any different than you have in the past by making unilateral changes that you, in your judgment, feel are completely authorized by the charter, saying we don't find out about it. You agree that any changes that you make, prior to you implementing those changes, you will talk to us about that so that we understand, we're informed, we're aware, and we can agree, or we can get some help to bring definition. So you're already on that page. You're not making any changes without any changes. Then the way you've been working in the past, you're not making unilateral decisions that we're not aware of, right?
Correct.
Okay. Then so far, we're on the same page. We're on safe ground. As long as the process going forward, that's our guide. We're not going to make any changes that is going to be blindsiding you either to our own presumptions that now we have some unique ability that we didn't have before. So as long as we're on that, we agree on there, we're on safe ground. And there's two ways for us to approach the changes that will be defined. One is that the business of the day will put something in front of us that needs to be done, and we have to figure out, well, how do we do that? And that's going to be demand-driven. And that will just simply make it a priority, and we'll handle that in a step-by-step process. The other would be for, most likely it's going to be you, Mark, because you're handling a lot of this has to do with more with the day-to-day operation of the county than us, but we may come across them as well. Would be to get ahead of it and foresee what ought to change, even though it's not coming up on the to-do list schedule and a priority. And with those, you'll present that to the us as a team. I mean, you're part of that team, and we will then figure out one by one what they ought to be. But that's kind of a getting ahead, trying to get it all done, even though it's not a pressing task that needs to be completed right away.
Sorry.
I'm done.
the bid award worksheet you saw today, we need to talk about that one.
Okay.
Because we got 29 bids coming for the rest of the year for construction projects. If you review the document, if you go down to the bottom of it, you'll see the various price tags of the various projects. $300,000 up to $6 million. The language in the charter about signing or causing to be signed, all deeds, contracts, and instruments not otherwise reserved to others. What does that mean?
Okay.
And those 29 projects.
Yeah. And
do I do them? Do you do them? Do we split?
Well,
how do we approach that?
You're doing very well already in that you're bringing that forward and saying, here's an area that we need to define. And the specifics of that, what we need to do is define what is the question and what do we ask, how do we do this, bring specific definition to that. And the road fund projects are in a category of their own, very different than the general fund projects. They very likely have different policies governing them when it comes to thresholds of dollars and processes that you follow. So on that, I thank you for taking the lead in presenting that to us. I was not aware of any question that was put to us yet that would help us to sort that out. It was informational, which was good.
It's
a starting point.
Yes.
So that starting point helps us understand, well, we got some what's going on, tune us all in, but then we need to translate to the question. And it would be helpful, and we invite that. Ask us a question. How do you think it should work? And help us to sort through and figure that out with you.
We've always done it this way. We have that list of projects, and you saw that list of projects for the most part at RTC also. We've already authorized the budget, which reflected those projects. So the only thing to do is say, we know what the project is. We have the funding for it. He signs the contract.
We understand there's a history and how we worked in the past, and that may change in the future, and we are at a crossroad. What do we do? So each one of those that you identify, go ahead and let's bring it, and we'll put it on the table and figure out how best to do that with you to make sure that you're empowered, we don't slow the wheels of progress down, and so that we're all on the same page. Related to that also, we have a number of, we've been calling them policies, and really they're practices. They're almost traditions. They're unwritten.
If they're not practice, they're in policy, and I think you'll find that our road standards and design are in policy.
Let me finish.
That's what I talked about at that meeting this morning.
I understand. Let me finish. In order for us to move forward with order, with definition, with clarity, we've been assuming that we've been acting on policies. Some of them are written, some of them are not. And part of this task ahead of us would be to write the ones that aren't, so that it's not just for our day-to-day practice here. This is for definition for the boards that will follow us, the managers that will follow us for the future, so that we can navigate and say, here's the roadmap, and here's how we all sorted it out together. And that is one potential problem here. Did you find the one about that I asked you about when it comes to the sale of properties, for instance?
Oh, county code.
Is that in Chapter 2?
Chapter
2.33A. Okay. I would encourage. All right, so it is.
Except as provided in Section so and so, county purchases of real property shall be subject to acceptance by the board. So that's the purchase side. It also says in a different section that sale of surplus property is with the approval of the board.
Is
that ordinance or is that policy?
It's code.
Yeah, so we all ought to get very...
Wait a minute. Is code policy?
Yes.
Now.
Code is law.
The code will have to be rewritten.
So let me show you something then. So on this list of things here, all the things that we're not doing are in code.
But the code will be changed to reflect the charter's intent.
Yes.
So that will be changed.
So this language... One step at a time.
And that's the other quasi-date in the charter, is that the prosecuting attorney's office will do that by the end of this
year.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah.
So the question, though, is how does the code change to implement the charter's intent when we're sitting here debating the intent?
Exactly.
So we're kind of in a logic loop.
Here we are, guys. We're back to, you're back to hiring someone to interpret that, because if that's not policy,
unless we can agree on what the interpretation is.
No, yes. We can't. It's not up to us to decide what the charter is. If the charter says one thing, we can't agree on something different than what the charter says.
Try to envision this.
Okay.
The board and the county manager read this charter language, and we say we agree that it means this, and then we implement it that way. Then a citizen group says, well, we don't agree with your interpretation, and they hire an attorney to sue the county because we're not implementing the intent of the charter. So then we go to court and we have a legal battle. That'll occur whether we agree amongst ourselves or whether we hire an outside attorney.
But if it's in policy, the charter recognizes policy as being followed, not ordinance.
Policy has
it
less
all comes
effect.
Down to code.
Policy has less effect than code does. Code's the law. Policy's policy.
It says right there under your description, you will, the manager will follow policy.
I think this is getting a little too complicated.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is my subject, and all I suggested
Wait.
We need to get the little multicolored light box.
I want to hold the floor a little longer here, because we have to make some common agreements here, or have to make sure we understand. One is communication is key to this. No surprises. You mentioned that if the citizens disagree with something, that they go sue. I would say that if there be, and I invite, you know, we're recording this, any citizen who disagrees with something that we're doing, communicate, share with us the specifics so that we understand what's the potential problem, what's the alternative way to do it, the solution, and how can we move forward. What we're really talking about when it comes to the specific example, for instance, of the disposition of surplus property, is really not a question of your turf or our turf or which branch of government. It's in the county's purview. And the question is, how do we get the business of the people, the county government, done? Certainly what needs to be done is something that we as policymakers and we as representatives of the people and the have the responsibility to ensure that it gets done. If there are surplus properties that need to be somehow dealt with, it's our responsibility to make sure it's done. Your part of that is how it gets done, who does it, and that is completely your domain. But all of this is foundational, and it's going to be blending back and forth as to how do we decide what needs to be done. So with that, communication is the key. And if we understand the how and who, that's you, Mark. And when it comes to the what, that's all of us. And in particular, it's the elected representatives, right? And if there's something you feel like what needs to be done, that it affects the citizens or the county government in a way that's significant, or if we as policymakers, by all means, communicate with us. Let us know.
I'll restate it one more time.
Yes, sir.
The charter sets the rule. We don't.
And
we need to follow the...
We do.
To the letter of the law,
yes,
the charter.
Absolutely.
We can't agree what we disagreed on. Which we're talking... Well, you're talking about the road and policy of whatever, or...
Right.
Or property. And if it's... you can't say the purview of the county is this... when the charter says something different. And the only way we'll say that would be if it's a policy. All ordinances will be given to the charter as not policy. So all the stuff you have in order, whether it be the description of how to build a road, put dividers, left turn, right turn, whatever. That's it. That's in policy. if it's in an ordinance, it doesn't mean anything. He can do anything he wants. So we do have some concerns as to the understanding of what that is. Let me move on. This is still my time.
Are we still on your time?
Yeah, you wouldn't know it.
You asked me an hour ago I was wrapping it up.
But someone else is wrapping up my time.
Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Okay, we've already covered this.
Are we going to go through that whole step?
No, we're almost done. Okay. So I'm going to summarize it. The things that we had on our list we need to recapture and don't shove them to the side. If it's things that we were wanting to get done before, and if it's not done, then we need to go back and say, was that a policy thing or was it administrative? Because a lot of those things we were asking were administrative and we needed to take them off the list.
So are you talking about things that were started before the charter was implemented,
yep,
and now they're in a foggy area because...
Not foggy. We were given direction.
I understand your understanding of that, but...
Now we talked about our gun policy, for example. I'm still asking for them to bring back the clarity of our existing gun ordinance. I don't want this floating out there in thin air when it was existing rule in policy. And as long
will
as it's out there.
Will it not still be?
No, because in our policy, this part of it contradicts it. Oh. Part of it says you can't, and the other part says you can.
Well.
So. The other thing I'd like to bring up for first touch, and I think I had some stuff delivered to your room, and that is to first touch to look at putting our national logo in our hearing room.
You mean motto?
The national motto. What did I say?
Logo.
Oh, I'm sorry. We already have a logo. Our motto, the national motto. So it's first touch. I want to introduce you to this. I'm going to provide some more information that's been provided for me. Over 500 counties and cities have already put the this in their hearing rooms, and Pierce County was the most recent one. I was hoping to be the first in the state of Washington, but we're not. So that's just first touch. I just want you to look at it. I'm going to give you some more information. Then I'll probably come back and ask to put it on the consent agenda.
Okay. I would.
Did you get a copy?
No, sir.
I've been so busy that if that's how somehow been delivered to my office, I haven't had a chance to go through it yet. I would welcome that. So, Peter, can you make sure I'm tuned
sure
in to what that is?
Okay.
The latest and greatest.
All right. That's all I have.
Really? Okay. Well, I have just a little more myself, and it is that we have to be really careful about our step-by-step, orderly way that we identify the problems that we have to solve and make sure that if we don't call it a problem, we don't call it a disagreement unless it's very specific, because we have to stay with goodwill and we have to stay with good relationship. So... We don't have a disagreement here when it comes to the disposition of county properties, because you're not asking to do something that we're saying no to, and we're not asking you to do something you're saying no to. We're on the same page. What we need to be able to do is bring definition and specific to figure out if there be something, what needs to be done. So far, no problems. So far, we will look for areas where we disagree, and we'll agree to somehow logically address those as we go. The key for us moving forward with so that everybody wins, so we don't end up with growing pains or adolescence kind of difficulties, is to continue to do what we're doing. No, don't make any unilateral changes without communicating. Stay on the same page. Keep us informed. We'll work with you as much as we can to make sure that everybody's successful in this. And that goodwill, and assuming we're not adversaries, we're team members, and we're on the same team. You know, it's a football team that we're playing for the citizens. So with that, I want to make sure that that's the tone, and that's the camaraderie that we have going forward.
Mr. Mador, in that vein, a couple times today around the table, I've heard the expression power shift or power change or power transfer. That really feels charged. And I'm not big on worrying about semantics and all that. It's the term we should probably use is authority and responsibility. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to sort out here. Who has the authority and the responsibility? Mm-hmm. So I just want to say that. And yeah. Because the citizens are using that word power shift, power change, power transfer. And that feeds sort of the volatility. So really yes. All we're in the process of sorting out is where the responsibility for something is. That
we like
the authority
the responsibility.
Goes with it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you do on a
yes.
management team is combine those mm-hmm. two. So we have some responsibility. We need to have the authority to act, and absolutely the same is true for our manager.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Are we all on the same page, Mark?
Yeah, well, my approach thus far has been inclusive, informative. Mm-hmm.
Great.
So that, you know, we all, Ohio State, all the players knew where to go and what to do every time that ball was hiked.
Well,
Oregon didn't.
Except for I hear that you're creating a draft of something that you're going to show us about implementation. That to me, that sounds like you and somebody else is working on that. And so I'll be anxious to see what.
I've got somebody else I'd like to help me implement it.
I think we're getting in the middle of your time now.
Actually,
his time was up a long time ago. He's on a do-over right now.
Actually, you're close, because I'm wrapped up. I just wanted to make sure that we understand the status, state of the county here in this room. We don't have a problem. We are on the same page. We are moving forward with all transparency and good communication, step by step. No presumption is made by any party in order to navigate the waters ahead that still need to be discovered. So that's really good. Mark, do you have anything?
I do not. I cede all my time retrospectively to Councilor Milton.
Peter, you
but
have
we
any?
But we will ask in the future for a more equal distribution.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, you get 3 minutes. You set the clock.
Not 3 minutes.
But not 60 either.
Okay, Peter?
3 minutes per subject. That'd be it.
I have one question maybe the board can share an opinion on. We have a vacancy on the Board of Equalization, and the term is through July. So the board could either elect somebody through that or appoint somebody through to complete this term, or you could appoint somebody to complete a full 3-year term starting from when they interview them or appoint them.
So the vacancy is already vacant.
The vacancy is immediate and unexpected.
And how many? How big is that board?
It's there are 3 members and I believe some alternates, but there's an immediate.
Okay. Not very big.
Okay. What do they do?
This is the Board of Equalization, so they address all appeals of tax assessment, tax values.
Yeah, statements of value. If they disagree, yes. They can
I've
appeal.
Been there. Okay, now I remember.
Did you win?
I would recommend that whoever we choose accept the 3-year plus the time between now and July.
Are we having trouble getting someone and keeping
them? No. No, we haven't. We've had some people there for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I would say at this point, because you just hit us with, you know, that announcement, we don't have enough to make the call at this point. I would recommend that you share with us what you know about that and about the alternates.
And applicants? I mean, are we going to...
We just interviewed.
Bylaws and those kind of things that would say what the process...
I think we just interviewed for that, and we had some really good qualified people. Maybe
I don't think it was Board of Equalization.
I'll go back and check with Jennifer. I thought it could have been.
Okay.
I'll bring you more
action item on that.
Okay.
Inform us as to the relevant information on this and bring it back, okay? Anything else?
No, sir.
Okay. Holly, you have anything? Nobody else has anything? Any no do-overs? Okay.
I'm out of here.
All right. We're done. Thanks.